Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
For a text tonight, I want us to go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. It says, do not lie. Who's this written to? Christians. This is written to Christians, believers. He's talking to us. Do not lie to one another, to your fellow Christians. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So notice here, the Bible talks about the old man and then makes reference to the new man. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about. I want to talk to you about the old man. Who is this old man? Over in Ephesians chapter 4, again, we looked at this scripture when we were talking about lying. And in verse 22... it says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man. There he is again. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So again, he talks about the old man, putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Let me read this from the Amplified Bible. It says that regarding your previous way of life, you put off your old self, completely discard your former nature, which is being corrupted through deceitful desires. The Amplified Classic says it this way: strip yourselves of your former nature, put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. So who is this old man? Well, he's referred to here as your old self, the former nature. There's some other names for him as well, which we'll get to. But notice it says to put off this old man. In Ephesians 4:22, he says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man. I looked up that word put off in the original Greek language, and it means lay aside, lay down, put away, cast off. And again, this is written to Christians that have already been born again, that have already been saved, that already have the new nature, the nature of God on the inside of them. They're a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's the new man, the spirit man. But then there's this old man. He's also referred to in another place as the outer man, the flesh. How many would believe that someone deceitful, someone that is corrupt, crooked, would be an enemy of a child of God? Would be your enemy. How many of you know we need to know our enemies? You know, a lot of times you talk about our enemy, we think of the devil. We think of the devil. And a lot of folks have learned about using the name of Jesus to deal with the devil, to take authority over the devil. But we got to understand that we have another enemy. We have another enemy besides the devil. This is, the old man is not the devil. The old man is not a demon. The old man is your old self, is your outer man, is your flesh. And he is deceitful. He will lie. That's why he says, put off the old man by not lying. Don't lie to one another. That's how you. That's one of the ways you put off the old man. That's one of the ways you deal with him. You don't lie because he's a liar. He's deceitful. So he's just like the devil. But he's not the devil. He's actually worse than the devil. He's actually worse than the devil. He's actually a little bit more challenging to deal with than the devil. Because the devil, at least, will depart from you at times. Just like you see over in Luke's gospel with Jesus, the Bible says in Luke 4:13, it says, now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. He departed for a while. And of course, the Bible tells us in James 4, it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will go away. It's nice. The devil isn't with us 24/7. Somebody says, well, it sure feels like he's with me 24/7. And that's because a lot of folks are ignorant of this other enemy. And he's the outer man. See, many times people will deal with the devil. Thank God we have authority over the devil. We have authority to cast him out. Isn't that what Jesus said over in Mark 16, verse 17? He said, those who believe in my name, in the name of Jesus, they will cast out devils. They'll cast them out. Thank God we can do that. Has anybody ever cast the devil out of your house? Have you ever told the devil, depart in Jesus' name? Have you ever resisted the devil and put him on the run? Absolutely, we all have, if you understand your authority in the name of Jesus. And thank God we can do that. However, many times after dealing with the devil, we still got problems. We still seem to have an enemy that's still hanging around. And a lot of times people think, you know, the devil didn't listen to him. The devil didn't go. But what they're really dealing with is the outer man, because he never goes. He hangs around with us all the time. We need to put him off. Or like I said, that word put off means lay aside, lay down, put away, or cast off. So we have authority to cast out the devil, but then we also need to understand that even before that, we need to get good at casting off the old man. Got to cast him off. Cast him off. Put him aside. Shut him down. But he'll be there all the time because he's a part of where you live. You live in this body that is wrapped in the old man, that is wrapped in the flesh. So he's not going away. And therefore, we need to understand that. No, he's our enemy, and we have to deal with him as an enemy. Notice the Bible says here in Ephesians 4 that he grows corrupt. He grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. That's another little tricky thing about him, see? And what makes him more challenging is that he grows corrupt. The devil doesn't grow corrupt. The devil is just corrupt. I mean, he's as corrupt as can be. So, you know, when the devil does something, we're not shocked. We're not surprised. But the old man, he'll sneak up on you. Because he'll be little one day, and you'll start giving place to him. Because he doesn't seem like a big deal. He doesn't seem like, you know, much of a of something you have to contend with or deal with. And so people will play around with the flesh. Yield to the flesh. Give place to the flesh. Doesn't seem like a big deal. And then they go to bed, wake up the next morning, and he grew up overnight. See, he grows as you feed him. As you feed him, the lustful things of the flesh, the lustful things of this world, he grows up on you. You ever see a kid, you know, you see him one day, next thing you know, you haven't seen him in a little while, and you come back, and he's all grown up on you. Seems like, well, it just seems like just yesterday he was just this little guy. Now I'm looking up at him. Just kind of snuck up on you. Well, that's what the old man will do to you. He'll sneak up on you. You know, you just start giving him some place, and next thing you know, you start playing around with him a little bit. Next thing you know, he's body slamming you. Next thing you know, he's sitting on top of you. And you're thinking, how in the world did we get here? I've seen this with my son. It's been, you know, there's a time where I was teaching him how to play football. You know, I'd throw the ball at him and say, now, don't be afraid of the ball. Catch the ball. Throw the ball at him. And got him to the place where he wasn't afraid of anymore. And, you know, it was always fun tackling him as a little kid. You tackle him on the bed and things like that. It doesn't quite work out that way anymore. We had ourselves a good wrestling match not too long ago. It was a tough one. But that's for another time. We can't play with the devil. You can't mess with him. We know that. He's easy to discern and recognize. He's pure evil. I mean, there's no underestimating him. But the old man is part of you, sweet you. Part of you, sweet little you. Next thing you know, your outer man, that outer part of you, is now dominating you and doing things that you never thought you'd be doing. It suddenly is controlling you and pulling you into problems. And then people, they start taking authority over the devil. But it still keeps happening. They're trying, I've cast the devil out. I've told him to leave in the name of Jesus. That's great. You've cast out the devil. I believe you did. I believe you left. But have you cast off the old man? What are you doing with the old man? And notice also in Ephesians there 4:22, he says that you put off concerning your former conduct. See, that's the old man. The former conduct. He says that you got to do something about him. Thank God the name of Jesus will do something about the devil. But you got to do something about the old man. You got to put him off. And again, that makes him more of a challenge than the devil. See, before we have to deal with the devil, who's also referred to in the book of Revelation as the serpent of old, we have to deal with the old man. James, the first chapter. And in verse 13, it says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when the devil comes to town. Is that what it says? No, it says, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. His own desires. What do you mean? His own. See, it's talking about those lustful desires of the flesh, of the outer man, that outer part of you. Each one is tempted when he's drawn away. See, it starts with the outer man. It starts with the desires of the flesh. It doesn't start with the devil. Each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. See, then the enticements come. Then the devil will start enticing you. He is called the tempter, but his enticing and his tempting comes when a person is first drawn away by the desires of not his inner man, but the outer man. The desires of the outer man. Verse 15 goes on to say, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. So in other words, it starts on the inside, starts in your thoughts. And then when a person gives in to those thoughts and give place to other things, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Notice over in James, the third chapter, in verse 14. Let's go back to verse 13. Verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Notice good conduct. Remember Ephesians 4:22 talks about putting off concerning your former conduct, the old man. So this is good conduct, which is according to the inner man or the new man. Let him, verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. Don't spiritualize it. But is earthly, sensual, demonic. Notice the order there. Number one, earthly. Demonic's not first. Devils aren't first. Earthly. This earthen vessel, this earth man, this flesh man, this outer man, this old man. He's first. This is the order of things. He says this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly. What wisdom? Bitter envy, self-seeking. A lot of people think these things are coming from the devil. No, it's coming from the outer man. Devil might have already fled, but he's still got the outer man. Earthly, sensual, that's the soul working with the flesh, and then demonic. That gives place to the devil to do his work. Verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion in every evil thing will be there. Notice where there's envy and self-seeking, which is of the outer man. He said, when those things are present, when those things are strong and functioning, then every evil thing, all the demons, will start to show up. Now you're creating an atmosphere for demons. Do you see that? So it's the outer man. See, that's why he's more of a problem than the devil. You see how he's more of a challenge. And yet, Christians are completely ignorant of this outer man. They know very little about him. The Bible says we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. But friend, we're not to be ignorant of the outer man and his devices. Because that outer man's got desires. And he's got devices. And he's got things that he wants to do. And if you give him place, he'll carry it out. He'll do it. He'll lie. He'll cheat. He's crooked. You have to recognize it. And you have to learn how to completely dominate him and control him. And you can. I said you can. Remember Jesus, he told us to pray. He told his disciples to pray. One of the things to ask the Father was that he lead us not into temptation. And of course, when we ask something of God, we're to believe we receive it. Well, then if we believe we receive, he's not going to lead us into temptation, then he will not lead us into temptation. Well, how is he not going to lead us into temptation? Is he just going to keep things away from us that our flesh likes? No. He's going to help you to dominate, put off the outer man. That's what he's going to help you do. He's not going to change the world around you. He's going to affect the outer man. That's what he's going to affect. So that you're not drawn away by the things around you. You're not drawn away by the flesh and the fleshly desires. And then if you're not drawn away, you're not tempted. Because each one's tempted when he's drawn away. But if you're not drawn away, you're not tempted. That's why Jesus had to be led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Because he was so focused in on the Father, so focused in on God, he wasn't controlled by the flesh. So the Spirit of God, in order to fulfill all Scripture, he led Jesus into temptation. But then he turned around and tells us, now you pray that you're not led into temptation. So the Father he doesn't want you to go the same way that Jesus was. Jesus was led into temptation so you wouldn't have to be. And we want to live in that place. We want to live in that place where we have such control of the outer man. But first you have to recognize the outer man. You have to recognize this enemy that you have with you. You have to recognize that. We can't keep blaming everything on the devil. Because if we just keep blaming everything on the devil, then we're not going to take responsibility for the outer man. So once we start taking responsibility for the outer man, we start recognizing, okay, I got this guy with me. He's a harasser. And I understand that. Then we don't get frustrated. We're not tormented by it. We're just able to deal with it. We're just able to get control of him and cast him off. Cast him off. Can you say amen? Praise God forever. Over in Psalm 12, verse 8, it says, the wicked prowl on every side. These are demons, right? The demon-possessed people, wicked people. The wicked one, demons, right? The wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. So you see, when people start yielding to vileness, vile behavior, vile conduct, according to the outer man, that's when demons, that's when evil spirits get involved in people's lives. But again, we see another scripture where it starts, the problems don't start with the devil, they start with the outer man. That's why as you go through the book of Acts, so many times, and even in the epistles are always talking to us about dealing with the outer man way more than it's talking about us dealing with the devil. I mean, you go through the Word of God, it's dealing more about us dealing with the outer man than us dealing with the devil. Because, friend, if you got control of the devil, if you got control of the outer man, if you know how to cast him off, lay him aside, and hold him under, oh, bless God, devil's not going to be able to do anything with you. You got control of your flesh, the devil ain't nothing to you. So let's get control of the flesh. That doesn't mean we don't take authority of the devil. You got to take authority of the devil. But he's not a big problem. You resist him, he flees. Oh, he takes off, he runs. He'll come and he'll entice things. But when you get control of your flesh, you get your flesh under control, and you resist him, he's not sticking around. He'll flee. He'll flee. Can you say amen? So we got to learn to get really good at dealing with this outer man, this outer man. And I was thinking about, you know, with football, going back to that again. But thinking about, you know, football, and, you know, you've got on the offense, you have a wide receiver. And then, of course, you've got your defensive players. So, you know, you have this offensive wide receiver that he's going out, and the goal is to catch the ball and get to the end zone, right? So he's, you know, he's out there, but he's got somebody that's assigned to him that is to just follow him and try to defend him, try to keep him from catching the ball. And so, you know, you have a wide receiver, he goes out, and if he's not that good, then the defensive guy is going to stick right with him and be able to block any balls that are thrown in that direction, maybe even intercept them. And that's a lot like the outer man. The outer man, he's right there clinging with you, sticking with you. And just like that wide receiver, he's got to get separation from that defensive player in order to be able to catch the ball and accomplish what he's there to accomplish. You and I need to get separation from this defensive player called the flesh, the outer man. And man, he will cling to you. He will follow. He knows you very well. He's a part of you. And he'll stick with you. And he'll follow you. And his coach, his defensive coordinator is Satan. And Satan will call plays to the outer man, and the outer man will be out there trying to keep the inner man from his purpose, from his God-ordained purpose. And I got to tell you something. The outer man, he is aggressive. If you start giving him place, he wants to rule. He wants to dominate you. He's the guy that the moment you start reading the Bible, he wants to go to sleep. I mean, that's just an example I think everybody can relate to. You could be doing all kinds of mental things. You could be doing all kinds of, you know, fleshy, natural things. And then you go to do something spiritual. Whoa. It's like poppies will put you to sleep, right? The next thing, I'm just suddenly so tired. It's the outer man. The outer man, he's working on your eyelids. And he's working on your body. And he's wanting to shut down. Because he don't want the inner man to dominate. He doesn't want the inner man. The outer man wants to be in control. He wants to dominate. He's not a neutral player. He's an aggressive player. And he wants to win. He wants to intercept the plan of God for your life. And he wants to run the other direction with your life. He wants to take you the other direction. And he'll start working on you. And if you give him place, next thing you know, some demons will start joining in and you'll be double teamed. And next thing you know, you'll be in double team. Now you got your outer man and you got demons working on you to try to keep you from the purpose of God. So you understand, this is a part of the fight of faith. Not just dealing with the devil, we're dealing with the outer man. We're dealing with the outer man. And so we have to fight the good fight of faith. We have to play hard. We have to be determined to beat him. Say, no, you're not going to dominate me. I'm going to discipline you. Paul said over in 2 Corinthians, he said, let's go here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He said, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, in other words, we live in these earthly bodies. You can't do anything about that. He says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. You know, the exciting news is that the day's going to come where even our bodies are going to be as saved as our spirits. Our soul and our body are going to be as saved as our spirit. Going to have the same nature of God in it. When Jesus redeemed us, he redeemed us spirit, soul, and body. So right now we've received the first fruits of our redemption, which is our spirits being saved. The flesh hasn't experienced the fullness of God's salvation yet. So with our spirits, we have to now dominate it. We have to dominate this outer man. But that's not forever. The day's coming where the outer man is going to be new. The Bible says this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to put on immortality. And so there'll be no longer this struggle. But right now, we got to deal with the flesh. And so he says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting out demons, and every evil spirit that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Watching and seeing who's really listening. See, the quarterback is up here. He's trying to throw you a revelation. But you have a defensive player in the chair with you. Yes, you do. You have a defensive player right there in the chair with you. And he's trying to blind. I've already taken authority over the devil coming in here. I already said, devil, you have no place here. This is a safe place for God's people. This is holy ground. You have no place here in the name of Jesus. You will not hinder the work of God. You will not hinder these people from receiving what God has for them. And I wish that's all there was to it. I don't know how to take authority over your outer man. I can't say, in the name of Jesus, I command your outer man to shut up. I command your outer man to get out. I can't do that. No, you got to do something about it. I said, you got to do something about it. See, that's why Jesus still, you know, he still had problems with people, even though he had full authority over demons while he walked the earth. He'd cast demons out, but there were still folks that still wanted to kill him and crucify him. They were just as devilish as the devil. Just as devilish as the devil. And if it was all just the devil, Jesus would have told all the Pharisees and Sadducees, said, well, shut up and come out of them in Jesus' name, which he might have done. He might have told all the devils to shut up. But they still had their own will. They still had their own sinful nature. And so Jesus still had to deal with that. And so you have a new nature inside you, but you still have this old self that is with you. And so you have to deal with it. And he'll try to block you from listening. He'll distract you. Because he doesn't want you to get it. I'm telling you, he's very defensive. And the more you feed him, the more aggressive he is, the stronger he is. That's where like fasting comes in. Why do people fast? It's not to get God's attention. It's just so that you can humble the outer man. So that you could slow him, shut him down, see? Because food doesn't feed your spirit. You know, the word of God feeds your spirit. But pizza doesn't feed your spirit. Your spirit, your inner man could care less about pizza. Could care less about pizza. But your outer man likes pizza. And he wants pizza. And he wants it now. The outer man says, I like cigarettes. But it'll kill you. It doesn't matter. I want cigarettes. I want this. I want this drink. I want to do this. I want to do that. But it's destructive. Yeah. But the outer man don't care. He doesn't care. He's self-destructive. He's on a self-destructive mission in life. He's ready to destroy himself. He has no sense about him. But he'll fight for his right to party. And then he'll tell you, you got a right to party. He'll sing it to you. So he's right there in the chair with you. And you just got to rise up on the inside and say, now you're going to shut up and get out of my way, outer man. I'm not going to allow you to dominate this situation. You're not going to dominate me. I'm here to hear the word of God. I'm here to get revelation. And I'm getting revelation. Take charge. Sometimes you just got to mix it up. Because that outer man's a creature of habit. And he likes to get what he's used to getting. And if he's used to getting a bowl of cereal every night before going to bed, maybe tonight he doesn't get a bowl of cereal. No Wheaties for you. And say, well, it's the breakfast for champions. And you just say, no. Not for you tonight. Just dominate the thing. Now, you got to feed it. You got to feed it food. Can't starve it to death. Got to give it sleep. We need to do that because we got to function in this world. But you got to stay in control of it. Because it's greedy. It's lustful. And you got to stay in control of it and not allow it to dominate you. You got to keep it under. Keep it under control. That's why the Apostle Paul says, well, let's finish here. So he says here, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting out devils. No, casting down arguments. This isn't dealing with the devil. See, we're talking about casting out devils, but this is casting down arguments. Casting off the outer man. See, there's more casting going on than just the casting out of devils. See, that's what I'm saying. Bible talks more about dealing with the outer man, your outer self, than it does talking about the devil. Because if you deal with the outer self, the devil's a give me. He's not going to be a problem for you. Casting down arguments. You can't let arguments get out of control. You got to know how to shut up. You got to know how to shut that down. You got to know how to get control. They did me wrong. And they think they're right. And I'm not going to let them be right. And you got to prove yourself. That's all pride. That's all the outer man. And he wants to be number one. He wants to exalt himself. And you can't let him do it. Sometimes you just got to be quiet. Allow yourself to be wronged. Because the inner man knows God knows. The inner man has faith in God. So the inner man rests quietly. It doesn't let the outer man just keep on going. and keep on going until the strife just gets so out of control that, you know, people start getting hurt. He says, casting down arguments, or, you know, get so out of control, then demons start coming over the house, you know. Then you got demons joining in. Let's keep the devils out. Keep the arguments out. Casting down arguments, casting out the devil. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Dealing with your thoughts. See, again, we haven't mentioned anything about the devil. And he says, notice what he says, verse 4, the weapons of our warfare. This is war. This is our warfare. And he hasn't mentioned the devil. See, people think our warfare is against demons. We're fighting the good fight of faith, fighting the devil. We're not fighting the devil. The devil's already been defeated. He's under our feet. He's not a problem. Just stick him with the name of Jesus a few times and he's gone. No, the warfare is in the flesh. It's with your old man. That's where the problem is. And you got to do something about him. You got to control your mouth. See, that's a challenge. Opening your mouth and saying, come out in Jesus' name. Tell the devil, leave in Jesus. That's easy. But closing your mouth. Now that's a challenge. That is war, baby. That is, you need weapons. Right? You need weapons. Thank God we got the weapon of God's word and God's Holy Spirit. We got the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and he'll help us to do it. He'll help us to do it. He says that over in Romans, the 8th chapter. In verse 12, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. You don't owe the flesh nothing. Say it. Say, I owe my flesh nothing. See, you're not indebted to the flesh. You have no debt. You don't owe the flesh nothing. To live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. He'll kill you. That's what the flesh will do to you. He'll kill you. Now the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Your old man will kill you. For if you live according to the flesh, verse 13, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Notice that. For if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. See? Now here in my Bible, it's a capital S. The Spirit. Because how many people know we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us? But the Bible says we're one spirit with the Lord. See, our inner man, our inner self, is one spirit with God. And there's really no distinction between the two. He's one with us. So our spirit rising up in the Holy Spirit can get control of the outer man. And we can put him to death. Not literally physically kill him. But we can render his works as good as dead. We can render his conduct dead. We can dominate it. Now, the Holy Spirit, you cannot dominate it. Now, people that aren't born again, you understand, they don't have a new person on the inside. They're not a new creation. They can't dominate the old man because the old man is the man that they are inside and out. So they'll, you know, they'll try to do good. They'll try to clean up their behavior. And a lot of folks, you know, they do very well, you know, to clean up their outer life and everything appears well. Still motives are corrupt and impure. They still have deception in their heart. And that's why the Old Testament, the law could not save people. You couldn't be saved by keeping the law because you couldn't keep the law. You couldn't do it. You needed someone to save you. You needed someone to come and to put his nature in you. And that someone is God. And he came, put his Holy Spirit on the inside of you. So now by the Spirit, you can control your actions or the actions of the outer person, the outer man, the flesh. We can control the outer man. See, we have help. but you gotta recognize the help you have. You gotta recognize, I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. You're good as dead. All things are new. And I'm living my life according to the Word of God. I'm living my life according to the Holy Spirit. And see, we use our faith to connect with the Holy Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit, our spirit, to dominate our outer life, what we say, what we do, where we go, what we don't do, what we don't say, so forth and so on. We're able to dominate because we got help. We got the Scriptures and we got the Holy Spirit. Glory be to God. But Paul said in another place, he said in 1 Corinthians, I believe, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says in verse 24, do you not know that those who play football, I mean, who run in a race, all run, but one receives the prize. There's only one winner. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate or self-controlled in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline the devil. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Notice what he says here. Again, he's talking about running this race. And again, nothing is mentioned about the devil. Nothing's mentioned about the devil hindering him from running his race. What's mentioned here, again, is the works of the outer man, the flesh. And he says, he talks about self-control, and he says in verse 27, I discipline my body. Notice the distinction he makes between himself and his body. He didn't say, I discipline myself. He said, I discipline my body. I am one, my body is another. I'm not my body. I am not my body. So just like, you know, if you had a dog and you want to train the dog, you know, not to go in the house. And so, you know, you got to train that dog. And you say, well, I train my dog. Or I discipline my dog not to jump up on the couch. Right? I discipline the dog. Now he jumps up on the couch. I give him a spank and I send him to his doghouse. I deal with the dog. Right? And you can do that. Can't you do that? This is a dog. You can control that dog. Right? And you can discipline that dog. So that dog tries to jump up on the couch again. Get off the couch. Spank the dog. But you know, if you let the dog on the couch half the time, and then a part of the time it's like, no, 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 get off the couch, get off the couch. A few minutes later, it's like, oh, come here. The dog's licking you and he's on the couch. Now you really shouldn't be on the couch. And then, you know, no, get off the couch, off the couch. And the dog starts getting the message, you know, but then it's movie night. And now we want the dog on the couch where the dog climbs up on the couch. It's just everybody's so cozy. It's cold out. And we're all sitting cozy on the couch. And the dog's on the couch. And then when we're done, we get him going, get off the couch, get off the couch. Do you think that dog's going to get the message? What is the message? Do we really know what the message is? But if you're consistent, if you're consistent and you say, stay off the couch. Every time that dog goes on the couch, he doesn't get a biscuit. He gets a spanking. He gets a little discipline, right? The dog starts getting it after a while. You know, you walk your dog, and every time the dog wants to run ahead of you, because he's just excited, you know, he's excited. Yeah, the outer man's excited. And so, but you got that chain, you say, heel! You choke that thing half to death. Pull it next to you. Heel! And those things are a glutton for punishment, those dogs. They'll just keep going. Right? Just keep going. Heal! I started doing that with my dog when I was little, but I cowered out. I couldn't keep doing it. It was like, you know, I saw where people were doing that. It's just like, you know, heal! And you choke the dog. It's like, I can't do that to the dog. It's my dog. Yeah, it's just too harsh. It's too harsh. But, you know, after a while, people that stick with it. Next thing, they got a dog that just walks right next to them. Doesn't matter. Fire hydrant, tree, it doesn't matter. That dog does not dare. The dog doesn't dare move away because he knows, I go left, I get choked to death. I'm not going left. I'm going to stay right here next to this man's heel. Yes, master. Right? Same thing with your flesh. That's it. That's it. No more Krispy Kremes. It's over. No more Krispy Kremes. No more Krispy Kremes. That's it. We're done. 3 weeks later. It's Christmas time. Every once in a while, it doesn't hurt. It's not a big deal once in a while. Just a little bit. You don't want to get in bondage. You don't want to get in bondage. Everything in moderation. And the race goes on, Judah. The race goes on. It just keeps going. We continue to stay controlled by the outer man. Because we won't take him and put him under. We won't take the chain and take control of him. And we've got to be able to do it. Otherwise, nothing changes. Nothing changes. Even though we're casting out devils, nothing's really changing. Because we're not casting off the old man consistently. Consistency. Getting control. Consistency. Applying the word of God. Applying the word of God. Using your faith. Using your faith. Applying the word of God gets you in control of the outer man. And if you're in control of the outer man, you are in control of life. And no devil's going to stop you. Nothing's going to be able to keep you from the purpose of God for your life. You will have the separation you need to catch everything God is throwing in your direction. You won't miss a beat, bless God. And it'll be one score after the other. And you will win, you will win, you will win, you will win. Can you say amen? Amen. And we're on the winning team. There's no reason anyone should be losing. We're on the winning team. Let's go ahead and win. Let's win. Let's win. Let's win. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank God for the word tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.